If I can keep this thing on. All right. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Good. Tell you what, guys, I'm here to tell you, don't worry, be happy. As Miss Ader was talking about, we're not going to be enslaved. But there is a subject I'm going to talk about tonight. If you let it overcome you, it can enslave you, but it doesn't have to. The subject I'm going to be talking about tonight, I think we all deal with at one time or another. All the unbelievers definitely deal with it, probably on a daily basis. And the year we went through this past year and the future that we're looking at after the after the election, some people are enslaved by this particular topic. And what I'm going to talk about tonight is worry. Yeah. Worry. And I tell you, as a Christian, we shouldn't be worried about anything. But if we're honest with ourselves, we all deal with it sometime or another. Just as she said, you know, our spirit's perfect, but we're still warring after the flesh. And sometimes, even though we may not realize it, we actually get ourselves into worry. And because sometimes it's just a little subtle things, and it's just kind of silly about some of the silly things we do worry about. I mean, today, if you looked at the weather report, maybe you was worried about coming to church tonight because maybe the weather is going to get bad. It's going to get icy. I mean, just foolish little things like that. But and then there's bigger things, you know, that we find ourselves worrying about. But as I say, sometimes we're doing it and we don't even realize it. And what I like to start out with is some definitions for you, because when I talk about worry, it kind of entails some other things because they're very similar. If you look up the word worry. So in the Webster Dictionary, it's going to give you four or five definitions here of things that are very similar, not only just worry, but things that are very similar to it. So in Webster, worry, it says to make anxious or upset. Now, it's funny. I had a conversation with somebody recently after the election, and they weren't real happy about the situation. I was kind of concerned, and I said, well, don't worry about it. And they say, well, I'm not worried about it. I'm upset or I'm angry. Well, one of the definitions, to make anxious or upset. Another one's to feel or express great care or anxiety. There's that word, anxiety. Well, let's look at anxious. What's the definition of it? It says uneasy in mind, worried. The word anxiety, which comes from that. One of them says, painful uneasiness of mind, often accompanied by physiological signs such as sweating or increased pulse, by doubt about the nature and reality of the threat itself, and by self-doubt. Here's another one for you, fear. One of the definitions of fear is anxious concern. We all know and heard of this one, stress. Says a factor that produces bodily or mental tension, and also to put emphasis on. Well, when we get worried about things, we usually put a lot of emphasis on that and make it just like anxiety, that make that threat or that worry bigger and larger than what it actually is. So all these five definitions, they're synonymous. I mean, they're either kind of the same meaning or similar meaning. So when I talk about worry tonight, I'm going to entail all those different things go along with it. Because, you know, actually the word worry is not in the King James Bible. I'm old school, so when I study, I still get out the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance book. It's a big, thick book about this big. It's got all the words in the Bible from the King James. And guess what? Worry's not in there. However, you know, it is in many of the other transfers different Bibles. But, you know, for instance, in the King James, you know, you're very familiar with Matthew 6:33. Says, therefore, take no thought about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you should wear. And I like that. Take no thought. Just like as Miss Adrian was talking about. Our thoughts, you know, worry, it starts with a thought. Everything starts with a thought. Yeah. It's just how we act and respond to that thought is going to determine the outcome. And, you know, worry always starts with a thought. So, you know, I got to thinking, and this is just the way I think, and believe me, do not make a doctrine out of this whatsoever, because I got to thinking, where did worry begin? I mean, because I was thinking about it, because God, you know, surely after I studied this, the harmful things that worry can do to you, to the body, and to your spirituality, God surely didn't make us to be worriers. He didn't create us to be worriers. So where did worry come in? And I thought, well, the fall of man, you know, sin came in. You know, that's got to be where worry began. Well, and that may be very so. Like I say, let's not make a doctrine out of this, but let's go to Genesis chapter 1. And I went there and I read this encounter, and we're all familiar with it. And I never really thought too much about it. But when I started studying the subject, it got me thinking. And as I say, don't make a doctrine out of this. I'm not saying this is the way it happened. But I want to, as one of my instructors down at Rhema, we're going to Bible school down there, he would always say, I want to present this for your consideration. So I'm just presenting this for your consideration. But in Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to use the King James for this one, but you'll be happy to know I'm not going to use much of the King James tonight. I get accused of using the King James all the time, and everybody doesn't understand it. But I'll be using the Passion Bible mostly tonight, but this in the King James 1:27, verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, it shall be meat, or it's going to be food for you, okay? And we jump over there in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you shall freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Well, here God's created man, male and female. He's put them in the Garden of Eden. He's provided everything they need. And you know, as you read, you understand that they had fellowship with God, so they talked with him in the cool of the day. So obviously there's absolutely, positively nothing for them to worry about. I mean, all their needs are supplied. There's no sin in the world right now, and all they know is good. Everything's good. So what would they have to worry about? Well, as we know, we get over there in chapter 3. Serpent comes along. Verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. When we say the serpent, if you realize, you know, in Revelation 12:9 talks about, you know, the dragon, the serpent, which is also known as the devil or Satan, was thrown down onto the earth, kicked out of heaven, and all of his angels. So, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Well, God, you know, he didn't say that. He didn't say you can't touch it, but she added that in there, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You know, for years, I've looked at this, I've read it many times. And I thought, well, okay, the serpent comes along, and he tells them, you know, you're not going to die, you're going to be gods, like gods if you eat of this fruit. So then I just take it as the woman just goes and takes the fruit, takes a bite, eats it, gives some to Adam, he eats it. But I got to thinking, where's the timeline on this? There really doesn't say a timeline on this. You know, here she met evil face to face, the author of deception. Until then, she just had fellowship with God. Yeah. And so here it is. Satan comes along, the tempter. And just take this for your consideration. Like I say, there's no timeline here. I'm thinking, why in the world would Eve just go ahead and take that fruit after God had told her not to? She's had a relationship with God. But like I said, she faced evil right face to face. And I got to thinking, could it be, like I said, don't make a doctrine out of this. I don't know this is the way it happened whatsoever. But could it be that she gave it, she thought about that for a little bit, and she thought, you know, because it doesn't even say that they're, you know, the tree of good and evil is in the midst of the garden. We don't even know if that's where they're standing. Could it be she walked by that tree the next day and think, well, you know, that tree does look good. The fruit looks just like good as all the other fruit. And then maybe she got to thinking, well, he said we'd be like gods. Is there more to life than what's here in the garden? Could she got to beginning to worry that maybe she's missing out on something? And got to thinking about it. The next day she goes by and think, man, there could be more. I could be wiser. I could be like a god. Could worry set into her then after she had this encounter with Satan and thinking that she may have missed out? I have no idea. That may not be the way it happened. I do not know. But I do know she took a bite of that fruit and there was great consequences to that action. Here's what I do know, though. How many times have we maybe thought we're missing out on something? We're worried we're missing out on, you know, hey, if you're a shopper, man, I'm missing out on a good deal here. I'm missing out on a good deal. Maybe I think I need that. And maybe you went ahead and purchased that item and found out that you had some consequences for the doing so, but you was just so worried you're going to miss out on a good deal. Maybe you haven't done that. But I'll share a time that I did that. Because, you know, you guys are perfect. But I'll admit that I'm not perfect. For instance, you know, boy, there was years ago, I had my first Harley. It was a little 1200 Sportster Custom, and I wanted to upgrade that thing to a bigger bike. And, you know, I knew one of my friends that I rode with and everything. He was a salesman at the Harley dealership. And the bike I wanted, it was just like his. I mean, well, it wasn't just like his because he did customize his out. Beautiful bike. But I wanted the same type of bike, and I had plans for it too. So anyway, there was one coming into the dealership you told me about. Just one. Brand new one coming in. And not only was one coming in, there was also a deal at a certain time. If you bought a bike from him, you got like $2,000 of accessories for free. Boy, I was worried I'd go miss out on that deal if I didn't act fast. So at the time, you know, I had me a four-wheel drive Dodge pickup and making payments on it. And I thought, man, if I'm going to get this bigger bike, I'm going to have these payments on this bike. I got to do something. I got to get my payments lower on my vehicle. Now, don't judge me, people, when I tell you this story, because I was really backslidden at the time, away from God. But so anyway, I made a rash decision, you know, real fast decision, and went out and, you know, I'd looked at some older trucks and thinking maybe I'd do that. But someone brought along the idea of, how about this brand new S10 pickup? Just this little bitty S10 two-wheel drive pickup. For crying out loud, I've been driving a four-wheel drive full-size pickup. But I was so set on this great deal that I was going to miss out, and I had to do it really quick. I went ahead and made the deal and bought this little S10 pickup and got the big Harley that I wanted. Well, how many knows the consequences I paid for that? For 5 years, I paid for that little tiny little piece of junk. I mean, it was a brand new pickup. But hey, if I wouldn't have been so worried about missing out on an opportunity, I probably would have made a little bit better decision. So that's how worry can set in sometimes and make a rash decision. Kids, you know, we didn't have Bobby tonight, and I'm sorry I didn't get you involved, but I want to involve you here right now. How many of you kids, and I want to include all you teenagers when I say kids, if you're 18 and below, I want you to answer this question for me. How many of you, by a show of hands, would say that your parents, or at least you think your parents, worry about you? Yeah, I think about every single one of them has their hands raised. So how many of you kids do you think you worry sometimes? I see some hands. And you know, and that should not be so. You know, I ask the kids about the parents because, you know, the parents aren't going to be honest. But I say, how many of you parents out there worry? Well, we're in church and, you know, you're too spiritual to worry. So so you're worried about what other people will think about you. Yeah, so you do worry. We all do it at some time or another. But as parents, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, you know, we do worry about our kids sometimes. I mean, I think, and I don't want to pick on mothers, but I think, you know, they probably do worry a little bit more often. You know, if they see their kid climbing a tree, they're worried that they're going to fall and break their arms. And, you know, the mom goggles, yes. And, you know, dads, hey, they'll be fine. That's what kids do. They climb trees, play with, you know, saws and, you know, other things. We don't worry about that as much, probably as moms. But, hey, I get it. I had a mom that was a professional worrier. She was professional at it. I mean, she would be what I call a worry warrior. I mean, it was her job to be the worrier. Someone has to do the worrying. I mean, if you don't worry, you don't care was the motto. So someone has to do the worrying. But, you know, my mom was a very sweet woman. I don't want to pick on her at all. She's an amazing woman. I had a great mom. But she did worry a lot. And kids, since Bobby's not here too, you're missing out on a joke. So I did want to include a joke tonight. But you younger kids probably maybe not get this. This is probably a joke, probably more so for the adults. All you older kids, you'll get it too. But fresh out of business school, the young man answered a one ad for an accountant. He answered an ad for an accountant. Now he's being interviewed by a very nervous man who ran a small business that he had started himself. "I need someone with an accounting degree," the man said. "But mainly, I'm looking for someone to do my worrying for me." "Excuse me," the accountant said. "I worry about a lot of things," the man said. "But I don't want to have to worry about money. Your job will be to take all the money worries off my back." "I see," the accountant said. "And how much does this job pay?" "I'll start you out at $80,000. $80,000, the accountant exclaimed. "How can such a small business afford a sum like that?" "That," the owner said, "is your first worry." We do worry about our money issues. I'd say, if anything else, that's the main thing we do worry about, probably, is our finances and probably about what the future holds. But we're clearly told in the Bible not to worry. That is one thing I do know. It clearly tells us not to worry. And as I say, I'm going to use the Passion Bible tonight. And these first few, I'm going to give you some scripture from the Bible. You don't need to turn there because we're going to go back to them here in a little bit. But it clearly tells us not to worry in the Bible. Matthew 6:33 in the first part of that phrase says, "This is why I tell you to never be worried about your life." In Luke 12:22, Jesus taught his disciples saying, "Listen to me. Never worry about any of your needs, such as food or clothing." And then it goes on there in the first part of 12:29 there. He says, "I repeat it. Don't let worry enter your life." I heard "never" a couple of times there. And this is Jesus speaking. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing." It doesn't say be worried about some things. You know, you can be worried about certain little things, but don't worry about this. No, it says don't be worried about a thing. So why does God not want us to worry? Well, for starters, there's things in the natural we have consequences with. Also, in the spiritual, we have consequences with. And first, I want to look at some things in the natural that worry does for us. Or doesn't do for us, I should say. Let's look at how worry affects your health. I looked up, studied this out a little bit, and like I say, when it talks about worry, when you look it up about how worry affects your life, it includes those other definitions of stress, anxiety, along with the worry. Here's some things. If it sticks around long enough, something as small as a nagging concern in the back of your mind can affect your heart, more likely to have high blood pressure, a heart attack, or a stroke. Doesn't that sound lovely? Those are three pretty bad things right there. But the list goes on. Matter of fact, I got about 11 more things to share with you. Suppression of the immune system. What does that mean? Well, it means you're going to be sick a whole lot long, a lot more often, because your immune system is going to be down. Digestive disorders, muscle tension, premature coronary artery disease, asthma, obesity, diabetes, headaches, depression. In these next couple of things, I've thought about it for some time. I thought this is what worry will do to you. Short-term memory loss, Alzheimer's disease. You know, I talked about my mom being a worrier. She was a master at it. And bless her soul, my mother, she ended up lost all of her memory. She had dementia. She did, you know, in her latter days, she didn't even know who I was. But I always contributed it to two things. One was that she was a worrier. Two, also the words she used. She would say, "I'm losing my mind," and things like that. And as we know, that there is a spiritual law to that. So this is why it says there in Luke 12, 25 and 26. Verse 25, it says, "Does worry add anything to your life? Can it add one more year? Or even one day?" So if worrying adds nothing, but actually subtracts from your life, why would you worry about God's care for you? You know, I always thought that's what subtracted years of my mom's life from her, was that worry. There's nothing positive that comes from worrying. You know, the whole time I was working on this message, there was a song that just kept coming to me all the time. "Don't worry, be happy." Everybody knows that song, right? Well, some of the lyrics in that, it says, you know, you're going to have troubles in this life, but don't worry. He says that worry adds doubles your troubles. So there's nothing good, nothing positive comes from it. You can worry all you want. It's not going to solve the situation. It's not going to add anything to it. It's just going to subtract. So let's look. That's some very natural things that worry can do to you. And boy, if you look at some of those things, you might want to make a checkup in your life and say, hey, maybe I should not worry, because those are some awful things. But also it can affect us spiritually. It can rob you from your faith. You know one of those things, you know the definition of fear? And we all know, we've talked about it, you know, anxious concern, we all know that fear and faith don't mix. You know, in Matthew, we all know that story. In Matthew 14, 22 through 31, it talks about Peter. You know, that's where he walks on the water. You know, Peter, he has a word from the Lord, you know, says, hey, if that's you, you know, Peter says, if that's you, bid me to come. And of course, you know, Jesus said, come. You know, Lord said, come. Well, Peter jumps out of that boat and he begins to walk on water. And the water isn't even frozen. It's just water. He's walking on water. A miraculous thing. But Peter looks around, starts seeing the situation, the waves, and all that's going on, and begins to sink. He starts to worry that, hey, I may drown out here. I'm going to sink. And he begins to sink. And of course, you know, Jesus reaches out and grabs him. But he had faith to jump out of that boat, but then he saw the situation around him and began to worry about what was going to happen. Another situation in Luke, I'm going to turn there in my Passion Bible, another encounter on the water in a boat, so if you'll stay in the boat with me here, we'll go to Luke chapter 8, see how it can affect your spirituality here a little bit. Luke chapter 8 and verse 22, kind of a similar situation here. It says, and this is from the Passion Bible. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's get in a boat and go across to the other side of the lake. So they set sail. Soon Jesus fell asleep. The wind rose, and the fierce wind became a violent squall that threatened to swamp their boat. So the disciples woke Jesus up and said, Master, Master, we're sinking. Don't you care that we're going to drown? Boy, that sounds like, you know, the disciples, they're all worried. They're about to drown. It's like, hey, we got to wake up Jesus. I mean, don't you care? Get up and worry with us. You're not worrying about the situation. Don't you care? We're about to drown. Well, with great authority, Jesus rebuked the howling wind and surging waves, and instantly they stopped and became as smooth as glass. Then Jesus said to them, why are you fearful? Have you lost your faith in me? Well, the disciples, they are just like Peter. They had a word from the guy. He said, let's go to the other side. Shouldn't they believe Jesus when he said, we're going to go to the other side? And situations around, they start worrying, they're going to sink. I love it. It's like, Jesus, don't you care? You need to get up and worry with us here. Mm-hmm. He wasn't worried. But it's quite interesting here. He said, why are you fearful? Have you lost your faith in me? Mm-hmm. You know another reason why God doesn't want us to worry? He wants our total trust and faith to be in him. He doesn't worry. He doesn't want us to worry about our situation. Matter of fact, he wants to take those worries from us. He wants to take them on for us. That's why it says in 1 Peter 5, 7, it says, pour out all. Everybody say all. Pour out all your worries and stress upon him and leave them there. For he always tenderly cares for you. Man, we have a Heavenly Father that loves us so much. He doesn't want you to be worried about your situation. Don't you think he loves you so much that just like your natural parents, they want to take care of their kids' needs. Don't you think your Heavenly Father wants to take care of your needs? He doesn't want you to be worried and anxious about all your troubles or situation that you're in. He says, cast your cares on me. Come to me. Give them to me. Leave them at my feet. You know, that's exactly what King David did over there in Psalms. I love this in Psalms 55. Let's go there. King David was being betrayed. You know, people out to kill him. You know, no little things that, like, you know, we worry about. We don't have people out trying to kill us, but yet we act like our worries, our situation's really bad, and we got to worry about them. Let's look at this, and I'm going to look at the situation here first. It's Psalms 55, verse 1. It said, God, listen to my prayer. Don't hide your heart from me when I cry out to you. Come close to me and give me your answer. Here I am, moaning and restless. I'm preoccupied with the threats of my enemies and crushed by the pressure of their opposition. They surround me with trouble and terror. In their fury, they rise up against me in an angry uproar. My heart is trembling inside my chest as the terror of death seizes me. Fear and dread overwhelm me. I shudder before the horror I face. Well, I don't think too many of us are finding ourselves in that situation. But I like, and you can go on, there's more to it, but let's look, jump to verse 22. You know, that's the situation I just described, but here's what he did. So here's what I've learned through it all. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord. Sounds like casting all your cares on him. And measureless grace will strengthen you. He will watch over his lovers, never letting them slip or be overthrown. He will send all my enemies to the pit of destruction. Murderers, liars, and betrayers will face an ultimately death. My life's hope and trust is in you, and you'll never fail to rescue me. Boy, if you're listening to the garbage on the news and after the election and all so forth, listen here. Don't be worried about the situation. All them murderers, liars, betrayers, and God has a plan. Don't be worried about it. In Luke 12, 29-32, Jesus said this, and I shared a little bit there just a moment ago. He says, I repeat it. Don't let worry enter your life. Live above the anxious cares about all your personal needs. People everywhere seem to be worrying about making a living, but your Heavenly Father knows your every need and will take care of you. Each and every day, He will supply your needs. And here's the key. As you seek His kingdom passionately above all else. So don't ever be afraid, dearest friends. Your loving Father joyously gives you His kingdom realm with all its promises. Hallelujah. Philippians 4 through 9. It says, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let joy overflow. Let joy overflow, for you are united with the Anointed One. Hallelujah. Let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is near. Kids, what did I teach you in my class before? No fear here. For God is near. He's right here. He's in us. He's with us at all time. And if God be with us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Glory. I'm starting to preach myself happy here. Don't, verse 6, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Here's another key. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. It's what you do when you're casting your cares on Him. Go talk to Him. Spend time in His presence. Let Him know what's going on. Let Him take care of those worries. Verse 8, so keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. That's why it says we need to renew our minds. If you're looking at the garbage out there, feeding your mind and your thoughts with that, you're going to be doing some worrying. But if you fix yourself on these things and spend your time in the presence of God, you're going to have peace. You're not going to be worried. Verse 9 says, follow the example of all that we have imparted to you, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. You know, Nehemiah 8:10, we've talked about it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We can have joy. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be worrying about anything. As the song goes, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy, people. So in conclusion, worry can't add anything to your life, just subtracts. So don't let worry enter into your life. But if or when it does, cast all your worries on Him, because He lovingly cares for you. That way, you can be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of your life. Let that joy overflow because, hey, you're united with Jesus. Matter of fact, you know, just like the election, it doesn't matter who's sitting in the White House. It just matters who's sitting on the throne. That's the King of Kings, the Lords of Lords. And, woo, says we're seated with Jesus right there. Hallelujah. Why would you worry? I want to leave you with some final words from Jesus. John 14:1. It says this. Well, in the Passion, it says, don't worry or surrender to your fear. In the King James, verse 1 through 3, it says this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may you be also. What's the biggest worry you might have? Well, some people worry that they might die. Guess what? Woo! If we die, we're just absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. We're going to spend eternity with Him. So why would you worry about a thing here on this earth anyway? Hallelujah. Don't worry. Hallelujah. Be happy. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, well, then you do have something to worry about. So I think probably everyone in here has, but hey, if you haven't made Him the Lord of your life, I want you to come up here after we dismiss here and get straightened out with Him. Because, man, if you have Jesus, there's not a thing to be worried about. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Happy birthday, Pastor Brent. I think there's still some pie left, and I just hope the one thing you got out of this is, hey, you know, as Christians, you know, be honest with yourself. We do find ourselves worrying at times, and just be aware of it and cast those worries upon Him. Get in His presence. Let Him know what's going on, and you're going to have peace about the situation. You don't have to let worry run your lives. Amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless. Let's have some more pie. And and have some fellowship with one another. And once again, don't worry, be happy.